Fear does not exist in this dojo. Pain does not exist in this dojo. We do not train to be merciful here. This is a place of learning. This is a place of knowledge. For years we've gotten from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. And now it's time for us to get back.
It'll open up a way for us to talk about all kinds of martial arts movies. There's also like no way to not compare those instantly to Karate Kid.
Man, face you, he is your enemy, and the enemy deserves no mercy. We teach the way of the mic. Welcome to Dojo 9.
On this episode of Dojo 9, join the senseis Dave the Clone, Chris Stiles, and Mickey Torres.
Was more interconnected by that point.
Yeah, you were just embracing the cultures. That's a huge thing about the 80s. You just embrace the cultures. You know, different types of cultures, different looks, different styles. You were just like not, so quick to be like, oh, that's whack or that's not me or whatever the case may be. You just, everything, you were trying out anything and everything.
Yeah. There was like one rule to the 80s, like, can I do cocaine near that? Like, okay, it's good. I love it. Let's do it. Great.
Or will this
like, can I do cocaine wearing that ridiculous outfit? Like, can I do coke off the hood of that, Lamborghini? Can I, you know?
I mean, it's just too much.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. If your leather jacket isn't the same color as the blood coming out of your nose, you're not doing it right. But I mean, even if you look at Shonuff's crew, that is such an amalgamation of all different adopted looks and like different elements of looks. It's not even really uniform except for the shoulder pad part of it, but like the different headbands, it's almost like, it's kind of like, you know, why are they doing the bombardier with the headband, with the camo? You know what I mean? It's just this weird, and I think punk culture was that.
It's a little bit of new wave and a little bit of punk rock and a little bit of New York and, you know, a little bit of like street tough, you know, a little teeny twinge of canon films in there too.
Oh, yeah.
which I fucking love. We'll talk about when we get to the point where we say what Hollywood would have done.
Which
is, of course, we all know they would have done nothing, which is what they did. But if they had made a sequel, I could likely see that it would have been made by someone like Cannon that would have stepped in and been like, we are buying this in a fire sale for $500,000 and we make the movie for another $5,000, you know?
Yeah, but then every movie would have to still be called Barry Gordy's Last Dragon, Barry Gordy's Last Dragon 2. It'd be like Tyler Perry Presents
Why can't we live in that world, man? I would love it if Barry Gordy never stopped making movies, man. I would fucking love that.
Just by let's look at his first foray into the movies and look what he gave us. A freaking classic.
Lady Sings the Blues, right? Or was it Mahogany? No, what was his first? I'm so bad at my film trivia right now. Pre-80s. Pre-80s I'm terrible about. What was it? Tell me.
Stand by.
I'm going with this one. I thought this one was...
No. Fuck no. Dude, he did movies with Diana Ross and Billy Dee.
That's right. Mahogany was his.
Yeah. I got to get out the Google thing.
Yeah.
But
stand by. I'm almost there.
But the point is, like, look at what he did. I know. My computer is slow to wake.
What
he did musically. Look at what he did with his label. Why couldn't he do that with movies?
Oh, yeah.
Because Hollywood's a bunch of fucking pricks, and you make, like, one thing that kind of underperforms a little bit, and you never get to fucking do anything again.
But I feel like The Last Dragon was the mic drop. It was like, I gave you Last Dragon. Boom.
Yeah, it's a mic drop to you and me, but yeah. It's you know, a little bit less than that, I think, to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Or in Hollywood, at least.
Well, but I don't understand those people. I don't understand those people.
I don't understand those fucking people either. You know, if you get the opportunity to work with someone like Berry Gordy, you fucking thank your lucky stars, and you work with someone like Berry Gordy every chance you get. You know, why couldn't it have been... Oh, gosh, that would have been amazing, though. Think of all the movies we could have gotten. Think of, like, how many more Billy Dee Williams movies there could have been. You know? Just for that. Just for that.
I just like that reaction.
it would be known for more than just Lando Calrissian and the Harvey Dent that we wanted to see more of.
You know? And Colt 45.
Colt 45.
The man is a fucking legend.
You truly belong among us here in the clouds.
let's talk about, like, you know, like an underrated character that, like, every time I watch this movie, I just, you know, think about this guy. I'm like, wow, this guy, the freaking Asian Scott Baio, Johnny, the student.
Oh my god. He's like, the one who wanted to just get by with just doing noises and not have to actually.
Exactly.
I don't have to land any punches.
I love that.
I love that guy. And then, like, you know, by the end, you throw the process of osmosis, he finally learns how to connect the punch.
Yeah, he has his Jason Bourne moment where he, like, looks at his own hands like, how did I just do that?
Yeah. And then, of course, we have to talk about the incredible Ernie Reyes Jr. If you don't know who that is, he's the youngest. He's he grew up to be Kino in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Legendary martial artist. His father was the fight choreographer, also famous in his own, Ernie Reyes Sr. But I get goosebumps every time Ernie Reyes Jr. gets his scene comes in and he starts kicking ass. I'm like, fuck me, dude, that's a whole spinoff. I would fucking eat that shit up all day. Give me that kid. Give me Ernie Reyes Jr. at that age, like, and do 25 movies like it's James Bond. I don't care what you have to do. And I don't care what you have to do to make it happen. You got to make a movie every weekend or something.
And
but
he could grow up to be Kino in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too. it could connect.
That's a dude. I feel like Hollywood did not throw enough his way. Because what else did he do? Surf Ninjas. He's a very good actor. He's a good-looking chap, you know what I mean? Like, handsome and shit.
And he has a look that's like a capture, like, you can't look away, you know? Like, when
star power.
He's doing that little break dance at the end, and then the final kick to that guy's face, you're just like, damn, dude, like, that was really fucking cool. Holy shit, I want to learn a karate.
I almost wonder why he wasn't cast in Karate Kid 3.
Well, I think...
Because they brought it back to America. Because if they'd stayed in Asia, he would have.
You know, they wanted to make the bad guys, easy for everybody to hate.
That's true.
You know, and they didn't want to fall in the same thing that, like, a lot of people said the Rocky movies were falling into at one point, where you keep the white hero, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of shit. You know, it's funny how people now complain about Miyagi, that Miyagi is
like
whatever. It's like, you know, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, Miyagi is goddamn legend. He's one of the best movie characters of all time. People will be celebrating him forever.
Yep.
I can only imagine.
But that's not good enough for some people, I guess, nowadays. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't want to get all on that riff. But so what do you guys think Hollywood would have done? If they had done a Last Dragon sequel at some point in time, what do you think would have happened? What could you have seen the system cranking out? Like a full-fledged reboot in 2006, a made-for-TV spinoff, a Showtime series, what, a USA show? How do you think Hollywood would have done this if they had?
You want to go? You want to go first, Mickey?
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around this one. So here's what I thought, because I mean, like, there have to be something, and this is just the perv in me, I guess. But I have to see Bruce Leroy learn about the moves from Laura Charles. So I have to see that continuation there.
And so then, you want the you want the Showtime up all night version?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, like, but that's that. That's my wishes or whatever like that. But if I thought like if you wanted to make a good kind of like a story again or whatever, you would have to have to me them, you know, riding off in the sunset, obviously, like they did. And then you would have, you know, Bruce Leroy still doing the school thing. And then, you know, Eddie Arcadian's in jail. And he don't forget. He don't forget. And remember, he had that whole goon casting call and everything else like that.
Yeah. It got dark real fast at that point. Yeah. There was, this is becoming a bunch of different movies towards the end.
Yeah.
Find Leroy Green here.
I'm Leroy Green. Who are you?
Who am I?
Shut up!
I am the Shogun of Harlem. And the Leroy Green I'm looking for is a little punk that thinks he's a kung fu master.
Oh, you mean Junior?
Yeah. Junior.
Junior!
Where is he?
Don't know. Not sure I'd tell you if I did.
Not sure you tell me if you did.
Mama, wait a minute. Mama, please, Mama, hold it. Just, wait a minute, please. Hold it. I'll take it. Hold. All right.
Well, how about I leave him a little message then? Tell him when I found out he wasn't here, I was all broken up.
Oh, my God, my table, what are you doing?
Crush the cyclone! Do it!
With pleasure!
No!
Hold it, please, fellas! No, not like that! Please, don't! Please! Come on, please! Come on, come on! Don't take the wall! Oh, my God!
I'm gonna kill you!
Take it easy, honey.
You
crazy! Help
me, man!
You gonna die!
All right, enough is enough! Y'all better chill out!
Richie, you stay out of this!
You better chill out, man!
Oh.
I said chill out!
Chicken-hearted son of yours to name the place. Now he's got to fight me.
So I feel like you would follow up on that. Like Eddie Arcadian's in jail and he's like seething over the fact that, you know, Bruce Leroy did this to him. And like Shonuff's out of the picture. Even as much as I would love for Shonuff to return, you know, he pretty much got his ass kicked. So it's like, you can't bring him back and say, like, he has a viable chance. Now, I mean, Bruce Leroy's got the glow. For some reason.
That's a good point.
I think... go ahead.
I think you have to develop, like a new baddie. And, you know, so but Eddie Arcadian has to reach this new baddie somehow. Maybe it's somebody in jail he meets. Like they're in the yard, and this guy's, like, completely kicking ass, and he's like the jail, like, you know, he's the jail Shonuff, and then he's getting out of jail, and Eddie Arcadian's like, yo, I got this much money out there, it's all yours if you go take down this guy. And now it's this guy going after Bruce Leroy.
See, I dig that. I don't think Hollywood would have done that good a job, though.
No.
Nice work, Mickey. Well, I like that a lot.
No. I think what we probably would have gotten was just like, you know, Bruce Leroy's kid, because
or his little brother. His little brother is now trying to follow in his footsteps. Maybe Richie Green.
Yeah,
I could have seen. I could have seen maybe like an early 2000s, like a USA series that ends up being like the Dead Zone kind of thing, where it's like a hit, but it's still like a USA series, so no one fucking watches it. But it's like a hit for them because like four people are watching.
Yeah.
Not to bash any networks out there or anything like that.
Please
hire me one day or air something I make one day, please.
It really depends on when we're talking about this happening. You know what I mean? Like, if it was in the 80s, it would be one approach. If it was in the 90s and the early 2000s, it would be a different approach. And if it was now, I feel like people would be very afraid to even watch this now. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say this, but there are other podcasts I listen to and they talk about like being very afraid of talking about certain subject matter when they're watching movies from more than 20 years ago, which I think is a little oversensitive, but you know, to each their own. I just think it's like, look, it's on film. It happened. It was a time. It is no longer that time. We should be able to talk about it, but whatever. But that's my two cents.
Honestly, no, I feel like the movie, I totally see what you're saying. I feel like the movie is not mean-spirited.
Yeah,
so
me neither.
So that none of that stuff that like, okay, yeah, you wouldn't say that now, you wouldn't do that now. None of it's aged that horribly. None of it's aged where it's like, oh my God, this should be, you know, fucking never shown again in public. You know, nothing's like that, you know, out of place or anything like that. Especially, you know, it's a picture of its time.
Right,
But yeah, I mean, like you said, depending on when it comes back is really how it would take shape.
Yeah.
Like, I probably would have seen the early, you know, 2000s thing. Maybe it would have had a son or something involved, you know. I wish it would have been in, like, 86 or 87, and it was, like, him and it was, you know, it was Leroy and Laura Charles, she's now learned the moves from Leroy, and she's got the fucking glow. And their students get, you know, kidnapped by Eddie Arkazian. And they got to go kick ass together. I mean, that's a fucking movie I would love to see. And we'll never get to see it, of course, because sadly, Vanity is no longer with us.
Yeah.
And obviously, recasting that role would be a fucking crime. Like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, dude, because this is sort of like just this lightning rod that was, you know, almost like came from the days where they would do this. It could be a one and done, and we would be sitting around for years going, what if, or what could have been, you know? But
we don't have to. We don't have to wonder if, because Timax still looks young as fucking hell. He looks good, man. He could still lead a show. And Cobra Kai has totally lit the way for how you bring back Last Dragon. First of all, Vanity is Miyagi. You don't have it.
Yep.
That doesn't mean you run away from it. You celebrate the spirit of Vanity in every fucking episode. You know, he's a widower. He's got a kid. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a son. Whatever. You know, because at this point you have to have some degree of next generation. Even though he looks young enough to still be the lead in something.
Yeah,
that would have
to be done very, you know, very respectful. Because if you, I don't know if you knew, but like towards the end, Vanity actually became like born again or a Jehovah's Witness. So like, you know, you got to be really respectful as far as that goes. Who even knows if her family?
I don't mean you have. Well, first of all, it's a character, right? They might not allow her photographs, like her likeness. I don't know all the particulars with that. I know that they don't own that footage.
Right.
You know, they could do whatever they want with that footage, and that's all they have with Miyagi is like photographs and footage that they show every now and again.
Plus,
every now and again, you hear an audio recording of like, you sure look like a master to me. And then boom, he's fucking ready to go kick ass for that episode.
Plus, this is also back in the day before we as the movie-going public knew of a thing called deleted scenes. There could be a lot more footage or just any more footage that we haven't seen, which would be awesome.
According to the commentary, there's not much.
No, I think they used pretty much everything that was in the can, so to speak.
Because they were really a big focus for them, other than the fight scenes, was obviously all the dance numbers and the video.
Yeah.
That was like high. That was really high technology to have video screens behind people while you film it. That was like state of the fucking art at the time, because you had to sync the shutter of the screen and the camera so that like you wouldn't get half frames or like, you know, interlaced look or scan lines or whatever. And you know, that shit looks awesome. But it looks like, you know, it looks like 1985. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you do it, you know. He's a widower, you know. You respect the spirit of vanity without disrespecting her religion. You know, you don't have to have, like, zombie vanity come up or anything like that.
You know, and you make him almost just, like a Kane from Kung Fu. Like chicks aren't even part of the whole thing. Like, romantic interests aren't really his thing. That's one of the other characters on the show. We'll totally...
Richie, you know yeah, he's still there.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely,
I want to see Richie with the original actor. I'm sure he's still out there. You know, I would love to see him return to that. Like, well, one of the great brother performances. Like, Buddy and Just One of the Guys, you know.
Almost, my God.
It almost steals the fucking picture, you know. They're both so good, they could be their own fucking movie.
And like it's that, so good. That the three guys doing the you know, street performing, kind of like the Teen Witch with the guys rapping in the hallway, like it's orbiting the same kind of like vibe, you know what I mean? Of just like at that time, this was what people were just like doing whatever they felt like doing. And they were just like running with it. Like, for God's sake, Bruce Leroy is walking around dressed like he should be in Vietnam. You know what I mean? And this in New York. And in New York, they would just be like, whatever, and walk by you. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it was. Live and let live.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a beauty to that, you know?
And there might be a way to do that now. Maybe there is a way to do it in a period piece. You know what I mean? Because that's the other thing is, no matter when you do it, are you continuing in the time that the movie takes place, or are we doing what everybody, like, are we Cobra Kai-ing it doing 30 years later? Is there a way to do 30 years?
You have to do 30 years later because vanity's not here and, like, reality's reality. You know, we live in the age of smartphones and shit. Like, it'd be weird if he, like, pulled out, he did it, like, 5 years later and he pulls out, like, a Zach Morris fucking huge cell phone at one point, you know? Like, cell phone, what's that? Like, oh, I paid $5,000 for this thing. Like,
but it would have to be very different. I mean, like, you run the risk, because there's a lot of similarities. You run the risk of doing stuff that's too close to Cobra Kai.
Well,
so we can't have him not you know, basically act like Johnny.
Well, then how do you differentiate? That's a good point, though. I agree with what you're saying. You know, how do you differentiate from Cobra Kai? You lean into the shit that Cobra Kai does not have. Cobra Kai doesn't have music, so you bring back some good fucking music and shit. Get Berry Gordy on this. I know he could do it. Get people dancing again. I mean, the 80s are back in every which fucking way possible. Like, people still dress like the 80s. People still love the 80s movies. They love the 80s TV shows. They love the 80s music, 80s hair bands, 80s pop. You know, like, you name it. 80s, like, graphic design art is back. You know, 80s synthwave. Like, we still love this shit because it's the peak of mankind, and we want to celebrate it.
To that idea, then, I love the idea of there being sort of the rise of the Max Headroom world where entertainment companies are in control of everything, because that's where Arcadian would get his power from.
That would be cool. Like, Eddie Arcadian Productions finally, like, rose to prominence.
Dude, I'll tell you what. In real life, pricks like Eddie Arcadian are the ones who are, like, running shit. Like, they basically... That's kind of how it... Like, the only part that's not really believable in that movie is that he would fail as a producer. You know, he's got all this money and all this shit, you know, and all these resources. He can pay that. You just pay someone off and they'll play your fucking shit. They'll play your garbage on the radio and it'll start selling, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Here's my question. And, like, maybe we can pontificate on this. So his whole thing was that he wanted to get Angela's video played on Seventh Heaven, Laura Charles TV show. So if you go to, if you watch the scene at Daddy Green's Pizza, and he's got like the video jukebox going on, how did he get it there? I mean, so it's pretty obvious that, like, there is some sort of notoriety or some pull or something, you know.
Jukeboxes and vending machines are typical mob territory anyways.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. But my whole thought is, like, you know, like, I mean, if you got it on that, you pretty much have some advertisement. Obviously, like, the whole gist of, like, oh, we get it on Seventh Heaven and we blow up from there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think,
it's funny you bring that up, because then when Shonuff destroys that thing, what's the first thing the dad says? He goes, "Are you kidding me? I don't own that." You know what I mean? Like, we the seeds of this world where the entertainment companies and being a pop star, almost like a Black Mirror level, is that important. You know what I mean? Like, that's people's ticket to power, right? So
yeah, the social media generation, and again, like, you have to do all these things to succeed in the ultra corporate landscape of art. You know, it's like ultra hyper capitalism has ruined like the fun of art. And you know, what's a kind of movie about Last Dragon? It's kind of in that, has that spirit of Beach Street and like some of those other movies, Break In, where you just fucking get together with your friends and have a great time, whether it's dancing on the set of Seventh Heaven or it's fucking kicking ass in the dojo. Like, you know, people just doing their thing. And,
well, that's the best part of it all, too. Like, I mean, when you talk about, like, this being, like, a music video and all this, what I love most about this, like, think about this for a second. This whole big fight where playtime is over and Shonuff gets real, you know, and they're fighting. That whole thing, you know, at the end of all this, Laura Child's makeup people come like, "There you are. We've been looking for you all day. Yeah. We're never going to get you ready." And so this all went down right before the show was going to start. So, like, it literally, like, I don't know. Like, this had to have happened. Like, the goon fight was at the studio. The whole big battle at, you know, Seventh Heaven was at the studio. Then they went to this back area. So then they're fighting and whatever the case may be. And then that's over. Now it's showtime. Miraculously, we have cleaned up all the goons from the studio. We've gone home, taken showers, gotten dressed in our best white clothing because it's an all white party.
Yeah.
We're ready to dance.
And he has his white Last Dragon gi, you know what I mean? Everyone had a custom-made white suit because they knew there was a chance they would win. Just in case we win, let's just have this shit ready to go, okay? It's like when both teams make it to the Super Bowl, we got to make the sweatshirts of both of them winning. So whichever one wins, the shit's ready to go.
In his closet, he had the, like, "All right, when I get the glow, this is what I wear all the time."
Yeah. In the words of Marty McFly, "You didn't think I was going back in that zoot suit, did you?"
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was the 80s, man. What you wore was who you are.
Yeah.
You know how many people wanted to dress like Don Johnson in the fucking 80s? I still do.
Fresh to death. Fresh to death.
I still want to dress like Don Johnson. And I still want to dress like fucking Timac and shit. I can't pull that shit off. But, you know, speaking of, you know, embracing the culture and shit like that, you know, I see this movie and, like, I want to do and be everybody in this movie. I want to do the things that people do. And I want to be, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be those guys in the alley. Like, I want to be Timac. I want to be Richie. At one point I want to be fucking Eddie Arcasian. You know, I don't really want to be that because that guy's a piece of shit.
Well, he was such an interesting villain, though, because, like, his whole thing was still, you know, and there were so many other movies that kept coming up in my mind while I was watching this, like No Holds Barred, you know what I mean? Where, like, they're all of it is about controlling these events that are so exclusive that everybody's going to make so much money just from being able to put them on, right? And so that's why everybody wants control over the airwaves. And this guy, the whole time, he's dragging Vanity around going, "All right, we got to get better seats for this. Oh my God, prime time, baby, here we go." And you're like, this dude is half getting a boner over what he's shooting as much as the power that he's got. But then once at the end, once the bullet catch happens, which we can get into, his whole thing is like, "That was amazing. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I'm telling you right now, we're going to make a million. All right, you and I will split it. I'll take the domestic gross. You can have the foreign. All right, you could take her both. Okay, you know what? You can have everything." And I'm like, that was your negotiation, is you just gave it all away. You're like, "This is the most amazing thing I ever saw in my life. Here, you could have it all." Like, he didn't know what to do. He was so blown away by it.
Well, Eddie Arcadian is not a great
he's not the Lex Luthor of this world. No. He's not a criminal mastermind.
He's definitely not a good negotiator. So, like, check this out.
He's no Suge Knight.
Yeah, he goes, like, you know, so when he finally, like, when Rock finds Shonuff, And he's like, oh, I got a guy. And then, like, they go to go see Shonuff, and Shonuff's beating all those chumps at the gym or whatever the case may be.
The dojo.
Like, both him and Rock have, like, these, like, toupees on. So all of a sudden, like, Eddie Arcadian's got a toupee. But when he goes to meet Laura Charles, no toupee.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the thing, because she called him a bald asshole.
Yeah.
So you could tell that really bothered him for a day. You know? Yeah.
So for show enough, he had to put the toupee on. He's like, I'm going to be legit. I'm going to get the toupee.
Maybe. Maybe that was just, he was showing up for show enough. I don't know. That's what you do. You show for show.
Yeah.
Fucking goddamn, this whole movie's magical, though.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about it.
I mean, just the fact that he could have an audition for these kind of, like, brutes that they bring together for, like, the fight at the end, you know? Like, it's like we're on the verge of a Mad Max world out there, but it's, like, early 80s New York. Like, why is this guy growling? Where did this guy come from? And the fact that there are these guys, we totally could have seen another movie where Arcadian, from within prison, works with a guy from No Holds Barred who was trying to set up that death match with Hulk Hogan and Zeus. And they've found these other shoguns, and they've created this whole underground TV network showing off these karate-like competitions. And you know what I mean? Like, they've taken over the city. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, all of them are trying to find our guy Leroy, Bruce Leroy, who has walked away from it all, because now that he's got vanity, he doesn't need to prove himself against the Shogun anymore, until his little brother gets killed by the new guy who took over Shogun of Harlem.
What about this, though? What if we tie the Ernie Reyes Jr. in here and get, like, they could be like Eddie Arcadian's Foot Clan?
Yes! Oh my god! Dudes.
Well, and I don't want Ernie Reyes to be a bad guy, though. I want him to be a good guy.
No, he'll be a good guy. He'll be a good guy. Like, but, like, I'm just saying, like, he's not, he's going to be a good guy.
Are you going to infiltrate the clan? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I get it. I like that. You know, it was occurred to me while you were talking a little while ago that, like, another way you could do this is, again, you know, you're going to kind of pass the torch a little bit to the next generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to keep the spirit of vanity alive. He should probably have a daughter then, you know, because vanity's gone.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
So,
and she's a singer.
And this is what I was thinking. I don't know if you guys remember a Disney Channel show back in the day called The Famous Jet Jackson.
Yeah.
So I don't remember.
So basically the plot is, like, it's a 14-year-old kid who's a movie star, and it's like, this is what his normal life is like, and also what his, like, movie star life is like, and how they, like, intertwine. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty cool show. Really great actor. On the show, whose name I forget, he's no longer with us.
He passed away.
It was a tragedy because he was. Loved him.
He was also Cyborg in Smallville.
Yes, he was in Johnny Tsunami as well. He's the best friend in Johnny Tsunami. So I'm thinking you could do it like that, where, like, this kid is like this kid is running Seventh Heaven now, or TRL, or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yep.
Some online shit. And the kid's like an Instagram star, and the kid's all this stuff. And then they're, you know, some Eddie Arcadian type, or maybe Eddie Arcadian himself is trying to get to the kid. And then he fucks with the kid, doesn't realize, oh, the kid's just about to get the glow, too. You know, the kid's been training his whole life. This kid knows martial arts. This is a girl that kicks ass, and she calls in her father for backup, and boom, you got two generations of kicking ass, dancing, music videos, pop. You know, I feel like it's pretty close, you know.
Yeah.
You take a little bit of what everyone's saying and you pour it in the blender, I think you got a pretty nice smoothie.
Yeah.
And here's the cool thing about this, too. You have this going on, and you could highlight a lot of great, a lot of great music in there as well. You can bring back DeBarge. El DeBarge is, like, he's blowing up right now.
Yeah,
like,
man.
As far as, like, you know, he's coming back a little bit. You know, he hasn't really done anything, but, like, he did, like, there's, like, a viral, I don't say viral, but there's a video of him online performing a lot of these, like, hits, like, just him on a piano.
Like, who's Johnny and shit?
What's that? No, he didn't do that one, yeah.
Ah, damn it!
That's, I mean, like, yeah, That's a hit, but like, let's be real. That's not something that Eldebarge wants to hang on. He's like, you're like, oh, I did this song from Short Circuit too.
I'll tell you what, dude. Laugh all you want. That track's fire. That like, beat, I mean, like, is fire. And I'll tell you what. In my mind, I love Eldebarge, but it comes down to two songs for me. It comes down to Rhythm of the Night and Who's Johnny. And I know I'm not the only one out there who feels like that.
Well, I'm kind of right there with you.
I'll give you one more, and this one is gonna date me, and this one's gonna be like, you're gonna have to, like, you're gonna look at me sideways when I say
Before you tell me, though, can I ask you one question about the song you're gonna say? Is it a ballad?
No.
Okay. I'm very intrigued now.
It's not a ballad. It is You Wear It Well from the Facts of Life episode that he guest starred on.
Dude, man, you are never disappointing when it comes to the deep cuts. Respect, my friend.
He's from the Nothing That's but Going Down episode of That's My Mama.
Oh, God damn. I love Reverend Brown. He's been my reverend ever since I was a little boy. Thank you so much, Reverend Brown.
Oh my God.
I had such a crush on Nancy McKeon. So, like, Joe was in the studio singing along and everything else.
Mickey just took me from the glow to the soul glow. That was incredible.
Oh my God.
That
See?
Was fucking incredible.
It's because it's a giant shared movie universe.
I still want Eldebarge to team up with Randy Hall, who you folks may remember as the band from Can't Buy Me Love, from the school dance in Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, jeez.
Put them together, you've got the ultimate sexy, funky 80s party time band. Oh, just throwing that out there for the universe. Make it happen, people. I will pay top dollar.
A ticket from the video repair shop is going up to the home office right now. This is what we're doing.
All my laser discs.
Literally all these ideas. Like, I'm literally sitting with popcorn going like, are you shitting me? This is going to go down? I am ready.
All right. So let's talk turkey. What do you title this masterpiece? I'm already thinking this super fucking obvious of just calling it The Next Dragon.
Yeah,
I think there's something simplistic about it. Of course, everything that has the next something in front of it usually loses money. It's like the last, you know, the last Starfighter, the last Boy Scout, the last Samurai. They all kind of are like financial disappointments. The last Jedi.
What about the way that they would handle it with actual like Kung Fu movies, or even they used to do this too also, I think, with Godzilla after a while. It's like, well, all right, this was the last dragon. The next one is The Legend of the Last Dragon.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, but I don't feel like it doesn't work as well maybe if you're passing the torch to a next generation anymore, because he's no longer the last dragon.
Yeah, well, we have to force it like they used to do that back in the 80s, where it's like, the way that pays off is once you get through the first act is like you hear somebody talking about this guy that their karate teacher, their kung fu master told them about, who had this thing called the glow, and no one's ever been able to find it since, and there you go. She hears it and she knows they're talking about her dad, because she knows that he was the last dragon. And we have to also see the funeral of his sensei somewhere, or like the way they did the, if we're handling Vanity being gone, his sensei has to be gone as well.
Because sensei went to go visit his mom in Miami.
Yeah, and he got killed in a plane crash on the way back or something like that.
We can keep him in Miami. I mean, like, he doesn't, like, Leroy doesn't need a master anymore. Here's my question. I wonder, like, why did they call this The Last Dragon? There was really no mention about dragons or anything like that. Like, it should have been, like, you know, The Last Master or The Master or something like that.
Well, didn't the... Well, I thought the master
dragon...
said... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think dragon in general, it just associates things with Bruce Lee. I think that was like Bruce Lee's nickname might have been the dragon or something at one point.
Okay.
So, well, that's why they call it Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, the biopic.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's,
then
right, that's right.
There's,
that's right.
There's Enter the Dragon. And Game of Death was also called Return of the Dragon, I think, in certain territories. So that was like, you know, that was like trying to sort of appeal to that brand, you know.
Didn't the when the
But
sensei...
you're right, though. And they also don't explain why he would have to be the last one. That he couldn't, you know, he's teaching people. So it doesn't really make any sense that he's the last or a dragon. But, hey, it certainly does fit. It's like RoboCop kind of tells you what it is. you know.
I'm pretty sure the sensei says something to him right in the beginning. Like, he rips the patch off of his shirt, and he's like, this was the last dragon. Like, almost like, you just passed my last level. Now you got to go out and learn the glow. Yeah. So it was almost like he was earning dragons, and there was the six of them on the board or the eight of them on the board. And you could tell it was like, as he got each one, they took it off and put it on the board. And he's like, yeah, now you're done with this dojo, man. You got to find the next map. You're in the next level, dude. Move on.
It's kind of like just calling the movie the MacGuffin, you know? Yeah. It's like, all right, well, this is the thing, you know, so.
Well, you could be like, I mean, like, I guess like the Master of Dragons could be the second one. Barry Gordy's The Master of Dragons.
The Dragon Master. There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say Dragon Master, but then you would think it's like Dungeons and Dragons or something like that.
Well, you know, thinking back to the old school ways, they would have to keep the last dragon at the front of the title, so they would both be next to each other on the video store shelf.
But being
this is a streaming show and stuff, like, you can call it, because you have that Rambo problem, you know?
Right.
First Blood Part 2, First Blood Part 3, First Blood Part 4. It's like, well, it's not the first of anything anymore, so eventually they drop the First Blood part. You know, so it's like, obviously this isn't the last fucking of anything. So quit calling it the last, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I could see the next dragon. Like, I'll see the last dragon, Legend Continues, you know, the last dragon, Judgment Day, or last dragon, some
last
Genesis,
dragon reborn, the last dragon,
Chronicles. Birth of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Birth of the Dragon.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Share Shayla Ghost.
Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much, you know, we did everything but come up with the poster art concept for this, you know. And I think you keep Timac and his daughter on the poster. They're both kicking ass. Do like a Chuck Norris sidekicks kind of vibe, maybe.
Yeah, there was definitely some of the feel of that going on here, too, with the school. And, you know, I think Best of the Best also comes to mind. Anytime I see a school now, I think Karate Kid, Best of the Best, sidekicks. Yeah. Now the last dragon.
And let's not forget Joe Piscopo while we're at it.
See, like, and he seems like the kind of guy that Arcadian would bring into this equation, right? You know?
I'm just wondering why there was no cartoon of this.
Oh, that could have been great.
That is
too.
A good question.
But you know something?
Or video game.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember reading that there was a video game planned or something. Maybe there was something else. But I feel like everything had a video potential to be a video game at that point in time.
Yeah.
But obviously they were doing the sort of the kind of bigger ticket than Ghostbusters Back to the Future, you know, Indiana Jones, that kind of stuff was Jaws. Those were the early movie games. You didn't get any canon films that I could think of that turned into, you know.
Can you believe that there was never a series of American Ninja video games? Like, how did that not happen?
Universe, can you please make that happen? Somewhere out there, there's a fucking gamer who loves canon. Just give us... That's how... I love Steve James. I want him back. Bring him back in video game form, please. Please, Universe. I'm looking at you.
We're looking at you, Universe. That's funny.
Well, is there anything else, any other cherry we could throw on top of this Last Dragon cupcake, this wonderful souffle that we've made here?
Yeah, my God. I have so many notes, but it was sort of just like, it was the only way I could keep my thoughts straight as I was watching it. You know what I mean? Like,
Is it possible for Shonuff to return? Is it possible for him to have, you know, a child? Is that too Cobra Kai?
I think Shonuff has to get murdered in the next movie by somebody bigger and badder who, in the absence, in Shonuff's defeat, has come to fill the power vacuum. And that would be the only way I'd feel like, unless, and then somehow we think he was dead and he comes back later to try to, like, help train Bruce Leroy a little bit more to fight the big bad. You know what I mean? Like, I could kind of, but very old school tropiness, though, right? You know, like, we think someone's dead. They're not really dead. It's a little cheap if you think about it sometimes, but sometimes it's fun. There has to be some place where that was done well enough for it to become a trope. So maybe this is that place we could try it again. I don't know.
Maybe. You know, I certainly don't want to just throw Shonuff away.
Right.
But I wonder, you know.
He is that good as
he
a
really
villain.
Is.
That,
like, yeah.
And he's so important to this movie that it's literally like, you know, like, yeah, like, I almost feel like there was no intention of a sequel because you basically just, like, you beat him up and this and that. And, I mean, it could have been like he transferred his power to someone else.
Oh, the red glow, the Palpatine effect. Yeah. The fuck, I know you're not a Star Wars fan, Mickey, but you know, yeah, I'm all the Sith. I am all the fucking Nuff. I'm all the show Nuff. I'm all the Shoguns. The power of every Shogun lives inside someone. And you know, what kind of actor? That's the other thing is, you know, what actor could really fill the role? Like, if you're gonna follow up show Nuff, to me, I think there's only one actor that I want to see even try, maybe two. The first one I would think is maybe would be Michael Jai White, because I know he can handle the martial arts, and I know he can handle the acting, and he's charismatic as fuck, and he's got star power, and you don't want to take your eyes off him when he's on screen. He would be really good. The other one, just from a pure acting standpoint, you know, I kind of curiosity, like, it might be terrible, but he's such a good actor, I feel like it could be amazing. It'd be Idris Elba.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's a hard get, of course. That's like a fucking dream get.
That's like, but, whoa, dude.
But I mean, I'm just saying that. One.
That's a more modern and more like, you know, you could see that going down.
If you're going that way. Me personally, I bring back the original Shogun. But there's no sense that, nothing that says he couldn't have a sidekick or another dude or another foe. Maybe he's got to join forces with Leroy at this point, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's too Cobra Kai.
Nah, I don't want that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But it could be like a Magneto thing where they're stuck. They're stuck working together. They hate each other. They don't like it. And as soon as they're done, they go back to hating each other. But just for one episode, it could be amazing.
Eddie Arcadian, in jail, Eddie Arcadian finds a raw talent. And he says, I got the dude to train you. You know, they get out, and he's like, show enough, I want you to train this kid. And
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Transfers his power to the kid, and the kid is like running roughshod.
I love it.
And this would then open the door for that whole second movie to also give us some backstory, because one of the other things that was going on about this movie that I wrote down was when we first meet Shonuff, he's already heard of Leroy Green, and he's heard that Leroy Green catches bullets with his teeth. That is an interesting reputation to have with no, you know, backstory or explanation. You know what I mean?
Also saying that he's walking around calling himself the master.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I have a hard time believing that Bruce Leroy was walking around like, you know, like a Daddy Green's pizza saying, like, you know, I'm the master, right?
It sounds like something his little brother would say about him.
There's no way he was saying it, but everyone else was saying it. They're like, yo, look at that fucking guy. What's with those clothes? Oh, you didn't hear? He's the fucking master. Like,
that's
he's
my
the one
brother.
Who kicks ass.
My brother's gonna kick your ass.
I'm like, yeah, how come he doesn't get his ass kicked walking down the street like that? Because he'll kick your ass. That's why.
Richie would say that now, you know, but he wasn't saying that back then. You know, back then he was like, my brother, the cornball. And they're like, but like, you know, the kid goes like, oh, look at the cornball over there. He's like, show it, man. He's like, that's my brother. And he's the master.
That's too funny.
Too good. Man. Well, I think, is there anything else, you know, anything else we got to throw in? Any other, like, actresses you'd want to see play the next generation, Timok's daughter? I could see Janelle Monáe being amazing.
Yeah.
Even though she's maybe not quite as young as you would want to go. You probably want to go with someone a little younger. But, you know, the musical end of it and all that, she'd be incredible. She's got dance moves like a motherfucker. And I think if you could dance that well, you could do fight choreography.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Is there anyone you guys see playing that role?
No, I mean, I like that. Like, the only person I was thinking, but if you're saying you want to go younger, is I was thinking Candace Patton from The Flash.
Oh, wow.
I think she would be awesome, but she's older, you know?
Yeah, but I could see it. You know, she's not that much older.
Not very much.
I'd slot Lady Gaga in there for the Angela role. That would be an interesting of the times selection, I think.
That would be a powerhouse cameo. I would respect that. I would. You know, going from A Star Is Born to that.
This is an oddball one too, but I think for flashback young Shonuff, Ludacris. I mean, facially, I was going, dude, this guy looks like Ludacris. Like if Luda was taller and jacked, man, he could probably pull something like this off. I'm surprised he's never parodied this in a music video or anything. And
because Busta Rhymes did.
Yeah.
Oh, god damn it, that's a good call. Busta Rhymes is tall and jacked.
Yeah. Yeah. And Busta was good, you know, he was really good at it. But again, I don't want to see anyone else playing, even young or old, you know. It's, you know, if it's really young, maybe I forgive it. Like if it's, you know, in 1975.
The beginning. You know, show enough
the
beginnings.
Beginning, yeah. I could see. Oh, I mean, yeah, shit, that could be a whole thing right there.
Yeah, that would be the other way to do this. Do a prequel of like how Bruce Leroy, the reputation got out there.
Fucking Walking Dead that shit and you piggyback it. So like right as the season of The Next Dragon ends, boom, you get like the Shogun prequel season starts the next week. So you're just going all, you know, fucking universe, you're welcome. You know, that's right. we're bringing it back two times for you. Twice as hard. Gonna be incredible, but I think that pretty much sums up the how to bring back The Last Dragon for Dummies. You know,
absolutely.
Other than that, you know, I think there's spiritual buoy markers in this movie, you know, spiritual, like, you know, lighthouses to guide you through life.
Yeah.
You know, so we're all going to strive to know without thinking, or to think without knowing, or whatever that magical movie bullshit was. But that, and we're going to try not to kiss anybody's Converse.
True. Oh, I know we initially asked on an episode of the Dojo who on Cobra Kai would be the most likely to get the glow. And I think we initially immediately all said that Miguel. After revisiting the film, is there anybody in Cobra Kai that you think is glow worthy in addition to Miguel, or is it still Miguel? Is there any kind of connection we want to make there before I go back to my students and relay this whole conversation?
Good call. I would say, you know, I know Mickey, you're going to love this. I would say Mike Barnes maybe be the one to get the red glow. You know, the anger glow.
Oh,
No one fights with that aggression, man. Barnes was an angry fighter. Something happened to that kid, you know.
But I would also say, too, like, you know, in recent events, I would say Robbie gets the red glow.
Ooh.
Robbie gets the red glow, Miguel gets the yellow glow.
Yeah. God damn it, Mickey. You just fucking beat me. You're right. That's good. Well, you win.
Who says, is there a rule of two with this? Is it really like the Sith? There could be multiple glows, and then it could be full on the red glow versus the yellow glow army, and we're back
Tori
in big trouble little
glowing,
China again.
Tori could get the fucking glow for sure. She'd get the glow.
Yeah. She would totally get
the
red
glow. And obviously, we know Terry Silver probably invented the red glow when he dumped fucking toxic chemicals off the coast of Borneo.
Dude, imagine that was actually the true source of the glow.
Yeah, Dynatox, baby.
Now we're
in the Harlem.
So Terry's been injecting himself with glow every day.
This is what made Godzilla and King Kong, and it's why they fought.
That's how That's how he surpassed Kreese. Kreese is the best karate man that Silver ever knew, but he doesn't have the glow like Terry does.
There you go.
That's what happens when you dance with the devil, man.
That's right. That's what happens. Dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. I think that does it for the dojo and the VCR for the day. In the meantime, you know, remember to back up those beta discs, rewind those laser discs, show mercy sometimes, and strike hard always.
Be kind, rewind, strike first in your mind.
And don't remember, deliver your pizza to Daddy Green's Pizza.
True. I think I'm going to get some of Daddy Green's Pizza right about now.
Yeah, man, I'm suddenly very hungry.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback.
Join in the conversation and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys had created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh,
it's wow. Carmen Electra.
Hey, hey,
wow,
hey,
we are all giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but
oh,
she's
my
still
God.
Got it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife
still
right
got
it. My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
sure.
So I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything.
Oh.
Terrific.
Oh, really?
And
oh.
Sound in here with
cool.
You.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We got to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey, you know. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still
okay.
friends. That's good.
So we're all good, yeah. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector Della Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Dylan's Heads. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember those films.
Oh my God, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No
like,
triumphant.
I want to go back
$2,
man.
Right?
I've walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. But of course, I'm
we need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash ban from company headquarters. Code gold, command eyes only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
when you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie. It's really creepy. But then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff. There's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom. Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a bow, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.